This episode of the Frisco Podcast is brought to you by the Frisco Rough Riders. Be sure to bring your family, teammates, and friends out to the ballpark for baseball, food, and fun during the Rough Riders' next homestand in Frisco. Get your tickets at ridersbaseball.com. Don't miss a minute of the ride. This is Hustle and Pro with Kelly Walker. Join Kelly as she talks sports with players, coaches, organizers, and entrepreneurs from Pee Wee League to Pro. Now here's your host, Kelly Walker.
Today we sit down with Stephen LaPlante from Children's Health Andrews Institute. Stephen's going to tell us some of the most common sports injuries that they're seeing currently, and he's going to give us his tips on how to prevent those. So enjoy this episode of Hustle and Pro as we kick it off with some quick hits to get to know Stephen. So who's your all-time favorite athlete?
My all-time favorite athlete, and it's kind of cliche, would be Michael Jordan.
What about your all-time favorite team?
Cowboys.
Favorite sport to play yourself?
Basketball.
Favorite sport to watch?
Football.
How far have you ever traveled? What's the farthest you've traveled to either watch a sport or to play a sport yourself?
I think we went to a Jacksonville Jaguars game, but it was only about a 5-hour drive. I drove 10 hours to Kansas City to watch the Chiefs play a couple years ago. So that was probably the furthest.
And I have a customized quick hits question for you that I don't ask everybody else.
Okay.
What's your worst or most memorable sports injury yourself?
That's easy. So I was about 11. I was playing baseball, and this was right when fall ball was kind of becoming popular. And I still remember to this day, I was playing first base, and the coach had thrown the ball, and I got caught in the sun. And I remember the ball coming off the tip of the glove, and it nailed me right in the eye. And, I mean, they thought I had an orbital fracture and this big thing, but I remember it was around Halloween because that year I just was an injured baseball player because I had such a big black eye, and I still had, like, the stitches from the ball, like, imprinted in my side. I just dressed as an injured baseball kid. But that was the worst one because it was a very serious injury. I could have lost my sight. So yeah,
that is serious.
That's the one I remember the most.
Stephen, you're a physical therapist, so tell me a little bit about your background, how you got into doing that, and why you're so passionate about this.
So I've been a therapist for 13 years. I did 10 years with Dr. James Andrews out in Gulf Breeze, Florida, really building that clinic and making it what it is today. Very fortunate to have that opportunity. But I worked a lot with college and professional athletes at that point, and I did a lot of kids too. But I always kind of was more passionate about the kids stuff, as much as it's fun to work with professional athletes, and it has its negatives too. But I've always been passionate about injury prevention. I started seeing kids when I was there at 15, 16 years old coming into the clinic. And by the time I left, they were 9 and 10. And it really bothered me to see. I mean, I have kids. I have a 4- and a 6-year-old, and I want to make sure they're able to play sports and be healthy throughout their life too. So yeah, I think this is a huge opportunity for us to make some great changes and really educate parents and educate everybody out there that, you know, we can be a little bit better and be a little bit smarter about how we manage these youth athletes. And because we want them to continue to play sports and not have major injuries that can maybe lead them to bigger problems later down the road too.
So I want to talk about different sports injuries. I feel like it's only natural that with the increase of different organized sports, there's going to be an increase in sports-related injuries. But tell us some of the statistics that might surprise parents or that parents of young athletes should pay attention to.
Yeah, so it makes sense, right? So as the kids are playing sports more frequently, there's more exposure. So they're going to be, you know, more repetitions, which is going to increase the amount of time they had to be injured, or the more frequency for them to be injured. So you know, one of the biggest things that I like to tell parents is, like, by about age 13, about 70% of these youth athletes are no longer wanting to participate in recreational sports for a number of reasons. First is kind of burnout. So these kids just get kind of tired. Second is just their skill level never develops. But another big one is that they get a lot of pressure from parents and coaches to perform. And you know, these kids have pressure coming from all over between school and sports. And so some of the kids, they just, you know, decide they don't want to play anymore. And I think some of that's because we've taken the aspect of fun away from these kids, and we've made it so competitive at this level. When these kids should just be enjoying what they do and not worrying about, you know, trying to be the best and win all the time. We have a lot of time in life to do that, and you know, I think we burn a lot of these kids out really early. So the other thing that I think is a really important statistic, and this is something we preach to everybody else, is that fatigue is a very important thing to be aware of. So when an athlete is fatigued, especially as a baseball player, there was a good study that came out that said athletes are 36 times more likely to be injured when they're fatigued. So these are your pitchers. So the kids that, you know, they're pitching 4 or 5 days a week and they're tired, their injury risk goes up tremendously. I think another important thing to understand too is that like about 50% of all these overuse injuries are probably preventable. I think if we could have better education as to why these injuries are happening to the parents and understand the risk factors, I think we could probably, you know, cut at least 50% of these injuries out. But yeah, I mean, it's amazing the amount of kids that are getting hurt now compared to 10 or 15 years ago.
So you talk about maybe half are preventable. What's the awareness? How do you prevent injuries? I mean, obviously you can't prevent all of them, but if you think you can prevent up to half of them, I mean, what are some of those common tips then? Just maybe the basics of what parents should keep in mind to help prevent this.
Yeah. So one of the biggest things that we talk to parents about is early sport specialization. So that's choosing to play one sport before you probably get to be about 15 or 16 years old. We recommend, and this is actually very well studied, that the more sports you play growing up, actually you have a greater chance of having longevity in your sport. If we can look at some of the best athletes across their respective sports, and I guarantee every one of them played multiple sports. Some of the best quarterbacks, some of the best golfers, some of the best baseball players, they all played multiple sports. I mean, you look at Olympians, like most of those guys played multiple sports growing up. And I think we're in this concept now that we want more. Like, more is better. If my kid plays 5 days a week, that's better than 3 days
a
week.
Of the one sport, you mean?
The one sport,
yeah,
right?
To get better at that one sport, and so they can go farther.
They will become an expert. And actually, the research says the complete opposite of that. And that's not what's happening. Actually, it's better for your kid to play multiple sports and be involved in multiple things. We also recommend that these kids take at least 2 to 3 months off a year from that sport that they play. There's a lot of pitch counts that are out there. There's a lot of awareness on how much these kids should pitch, how many innings per year. So we know over 100 innings per year, there's an increased risk factor of shoulder and elbow in baseball kiddos. You know, pitching for more than one team at the same season, being a pitcher and a catcher, there's all these things that if your kid's doing that, their injury risk is going to go up.
I think you said 36 times more likely to get injured because of fatigue. So that doesn't mean just if you're a busy athletic person, right? Are you talking fatigue of one motion of one sport, and like that goes back to specialization? Or are you talking just your kid shouldn't be active? Do you know what I'm saying?
You know, I always tell parents, they ask me, what are the signs of fatigue? So, and I'm going to relate it back to baseball because that's what was most common going on right now in the spring. But, you know, if you got a kiddo that is on the mound and he's taking longer between pitches, his velocity is going down, his control is going down, he's got his hands on his knees, you know, you can just kind of see that kid is tired. You can't ask the kid if he's tired because they're not going to be honest with you. You kind of have to take that upon yourself and say, okay, you know what? You're looking pretty tired. I think we're going to take you out for the rest of the game. And just explain to them why. If you don't do that, the more that kid does, you know, the more injury risk he's going to have. We see the same thing in basketball players and football players when they're really tired and just they don't move well. Your injury risk goes up tremendously when you're tired. You have less ability to focus, less ability to react. Another thing that I would like to mention too is sleep is so important. Sleep and nutrition are probably the most underrated things. So most kids are averaging probably less than 6 or 7 hours of sleep. But there was a study that came out recently that actually showed that when kids get less than 6 hours of sleep, they're like 10 times more likely to be injured.
Wow.
So sleep and nutrition are very important because how do you fuel your kiddo, right? It's like driving your car on empty,
yeah,
right? Like how do you get from A to B if you don't have nutrition, hydration, and sleep?
So interesting as a parent.
Yeah, so those are things that parents can be monitoring. I think it's really important that we look at those things and like make sure you know what your kid is eating all day. Make sure you know that they're drinking water and not Cokes and teas and sodas or whatever, you know, that is that your kids are drinking. That's probably one of the most important things that I think we overlook a lot of times.
I like that you said take a few months off.
Yeah.
So, Coach Boyle, if you're listening to this, this is why we always skip winter seasons of things, because we all need a break, not just the kid, but family dynamics and parents and everybody. We just need some weekends where we're not somewhere on a school or a sports schedule. And I think it's healthy for the kids too. I'm glad you reiterated that it's good for these kids to take a minute to just chill out and not be running around on a field somewhere. So you talked about baseball. So I personally have a connection with baseball and softball from growing up. So I am interested in zeroing in on that specifically. You mentioned pitchers and catchers, but just kind of overall, what are you seeing right now with baseball and softball injuries? What are the most common ages that you're seeing some of these things right now?
So it seems like the age gets younger and younger every year that I practice, but you know, we're seeing kids as young as 8 and 9 being injured with, you know, overuse stuff. So little league shoulder, little league elbow. We're seeing kids with torn labral tissues, which is the inside part of the shoulder, rotator cuff pathologies. These are things that you see in a college and professional athlete, not in a kid that's 12 and 13 years old. You know, your rotator cuff shouldn't get beat up until you get older, but we're seeing these kids with like cystic changes to their rotator cuff at like 13 years old.
That will affect someone. I mean, do you ever fix it completely, or is it always going to be something that might hurt you, give you pain later?
Well, I think when we get to that stage, which I would hope we never get to that stage, but it does happen that you get looked at by a medical professional that understands baseball, and then get into the proper rehab center that understands how to treat those specific injuries to those specific kids. Because there is a right and wrong way to kind of rehab those kiddos. There are certain things you have to do and things you have to assess to make sure that, you know, you're on the right track and getting these kids. But I think, you know, with those strategies, that for sure you can get through this. Most of my kids go back to playing baseball at some point in time, but sometimes they take a year, and it's hard for some of these kids because this is what they love to do. This is what they're passionate about, and the parents love it too. We may see ankle sprains are pretty common right now. You know, kids rounding a base and they just kind of roll their ankle. See some groin strains, hamstring strains. You'll get some fractures where they get hit with the ball and some different things like that. But mostly shoulder and elbow is primarily what we're seeing with these kiddos. I have seen a ton of backs this year, like what we call a spondy, but essentially where the spinous process like fractures.
Really?
I'm seeing it a ton in baseball right now. Yeah, like rotational. So I think how much rotation has evolved in baseball when we're hitting and throwing. And if your volume is so high and you don't have the right stability, like I can see how that happens, but I've never seen as many of these like back fractures like in all my career.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and we're seeing it not just here. I mean, other facilities are seeing it. We're talking about it.
Is it like a moment that a kid says, like they can tell that it specifically happened when they were swinging?
I think it's gradual over time. Okay. I think it's just that repetitive micro traumas to that area. And then eventually they just get like a really big rotation. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're tired. Maybe they're fatigued. Maybe they didn't sleep well the night before. And they just don't have the motor control. And all of a sudden they, you know, that big hit and they feel it and they go down. But usually it's gradual over time. It's usually not just like one instance.
So when we're still talking about preventative then, what are some of the programs in place? Like, what do you guys do here to help on the preventative side of things?
You know, I had mentioned earlier that, you know, taking that 2 to 3 months off, and that's not like for your kid to look and like get really good at Fortnite or whatever they're into. You know, we recommend during that 2 to 3 months that they come into something what we've created here called the Bridge Program, which is an athlete that's kind of getting ready to go back to sport but needs a little bit of focus on just general athleticism. So we have to respect the fact that a lot of these kids are getting bigger and stronger and they're growing. I mean, you know, they're maturing, their bodies are changing, and they lack the ability sometimes to connect all the little pieces. So what we do here is we focus a lot on just teaching the kid how to control their body in space. Like, body weight control is so important. Like, I'm not talking about lifting heavy weights, but, you know, just can they move correctly? A lot of that starts with a thorough assessment. You have to figure out how they move and what they need. But a lot of these kids just need a lot of good stability training. So that's what we're doing here in that, what I call the off season. I think this is what these kiddos really need, is a lot of like really good foundational strength training and stability training.
Okay. On the flip side of that then, obviously not everything's preventable. You're going to get injured. So talk to me about the recovery side of it and how to get back out there on the playing field.
Yeah. Prevention's huge. One of the things we really focus on with these kids is, like I said, teaching them how to move. But even just getting like a good assessment from like either a physical therapist or an athletic trainer or somebody that understands baseball to kind of look at things. So we know that like with in season we have injuries and, you know, postseason we have injuries and things. But if we can do like a thorough assessment and kind of look at things that could be a problem before they become a problem and then give some interventions, whether it's a stretching program or a stability program or some of your band exercise, all the stuff that's out there. But if it's a little more focused, I think I think it seems to go a little bit further. I don't think there's one program for every kid. I think you have to individualize every kiddo and really figure out what they need, and that's where your success is going to come from. But education is important, and we got to educate these parents and these coaches and everybody else out there that, you know, it's not all about too much at this point in time. Like, we have to have some balance for these kids and let them be kids too.
What did you call the Tommy John injury? What's the...
The UCL ulnar collateral ligament.
That. How often is that athlete in here rehabbing with you guys?
Anywhere from 2 to 4, maybe 5 days a week. So what I will do with a lot of those kids is we will do a combination of rehab and performance training. So I will focus more locally on the elbow and the shoulder and maybe the trunk and the core, whereas my performance coaches will work more on lower body strengthening and just kind of linking those two chains, so the upper and the lower half.
How many weeks are we talking?
Gosh, it depends. If it's a major injury, I mean, it could be as long as 6 months to a year. Like if you have a tear and you had to have it repaired, like surgical stuff, and right. We don't recommend these kids going back to pitching for 12 months.
But then there's simple things that are just strains or sprains.
Yes.
That can be a matter of weeks.
Maybe 4 weeks, depending. And as I said, if you do a good assessment and you figure out what's wrong, we have to understand too that like shoulder pain and elbow pain are not always related to the shoulder and the elbow, and there's a lot of other things. So if you can figure out what essentially is the cause and not just the source of the pain, so the cause could be something as simple as they don't have good mobility in their hips, or they don't have good strength in their hips or their core. If we don't address that, it's kind of like putting air in a flat tire. Like, we can make them better for a little while, but they're going to continue to get hurt. So we have to fix the tire and not just continue to just kind of treat what we, you know, the area that's affected. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, it does. Like you said, it's just because someone has pain in their elbow doesn't mean that's the only thing happening in their body.
I would guess that most of those things are not related to the joint that's hurt or the area that's hurt. There's something else going on, and that's where a good medical professional with good knowledge of that is really key to the success of the rehab program.
What about basketball injuries? What do you see? Are you seeing ankles, knees? Is
ankles,
that the majority?
Knees. Ankles a lot, yeah. Definitely a lot of ankle stuff. Same stuff. We get a lot of back injuries in basketball. We get some head stuff. You know, unfortunately, the kids take the basketball to the head and get a concussion. So we are seeing quite a bit of concussions, really, is a really big thing that's coming now. So
in every sport, though,
every sport,
right?
Across
soccer,
the board.
Football.
Across the board, yeah.
I mean, probably any time you're either making contact with another person or possibly the ground or a ball, it's possible, right?
Yeah, I mean, one of the sports that people don't think about is cheerleading.
Oh yeah,
it's
hitting
huge
flyers falling on you.
Yes,
yeah,
and that's probably most of what I see, a lot of cheerleaders with concussions.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I've seen that before. In our family, we also have one of those, and there's a lot of cheer injuries.
Yeah,
people think you're just independently tumbling or cheering or dancing or whatever, but the stunting can be brutal.
I think they have one of the highest rates of traumatic injuries of any sport is cheerleading.
Yeah,
like very serious, like stuff that you got to go to the hospital for. Mm-hmm. Is cheerleading.
Well, a lot of these girls are falling from to two, you know, lengths of people in the air, or being thrown and hopefully caught by young people. So that brings up a point about ages. So, what age range are you seeing specifically here at Andrews Institute, and how old are you treating?
Yeah, so we'll start seeing kids as early as like 8 years old, and we do some selective stuff for a little bit younger. But, you know, we don't tend to see a lot of these injuries happening until 8, 10, 12. And then we go as far up to 22 years old as to what we'll treat at Children's Health, Andrews Institute.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early, so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.